All right, so today we're going to jump into Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10 is probably the summation of, to me, it's a summation of the book of Hebrews, but it's a summation of what your salvation means. This is not going to be a deep teaching in terms of revelation, but I intend for it to be a deep teaching in terms of impact. Because I believe if by the time I get through with this, this is going to settle some things in some hearts. And there's times when we're affected by the things of the world, we're affected by things that are going on around us, and we shouldn't be, because it needs to be settled in our heart. And so we're going to settle it in our heart today. Amen? Amen. Psalm 140, verse 13, I know I didn't tell you to turn there, but it says, "Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. The upright shall dwell in thy presence." I think on the week of Thanksgiving, it's good to recognize what he's saying here. It's good to recognize that we can give thanks and that the upright shall dwell in his presence. It was always on God's heart for the upright to dwell with him. It wasn't ever in his heart for it to be restricted to just a few. That was never his intention. Hebrews 10 is the penultimate explanation of that. And so, I know we just, you know, we rolled out a big word, but anyway, it was the exceedingly great and grand explanation of that. How's that? So I just want to share, before I get started there, I want to share an encounter that I had with the Lord a number of years back. And when I had this encounter, I believe it'll give some context. When I had this encounter, I was, Sharon had given me this juice fast thing. It's called the purge. It's called the purge for a reason. But unfortunately, I misunderstood her instructions and I made a double batch. And consumed it in half the time. So I was basically kind of purged to the point of maybe thought I was dying. And so as I'm praying, all of a sudden, I'm just no longer physically in that little hut place that I'm at. I'm standing in heaven. And it's not a floor. But it's a floor. It's just different. I don't know how to explain that. But I just, as I stood it, I became aware that I'm standing in a huge hall. I mean, as far as you can see in every direction, there's just a hall of people. They didn't have any COVID-19 restrictions. So there was a huge hall of people. And then I became aware that I'm naked. Totally, don't laugh. I'm totally and completely naked. And then, so as soon as I realized that, I'm like on the floor, trying to cover up, trying to be as closed off as I can. And then I realize, there's no condemnation. There's no judgment. All these people know what I've done, and they know the reason why I did it. They know everything about me, and they know the reasons why. And they're not judging me. And instead of judgment, all I feel is love and value and appreciation. That moment, I began to stand up and I began to interface with these people and I began to experience such a freedom that I had never known before. A complete and total abandoned freedom. A freedom just to be me. And to know that regardless of anything else, I would be accepted. It's the freest thing that I've ever seen. But I believe it's the model he wants the church to have. See, what I didn't realize in that moment is that in a place where there is no sin, there are no effects of sin. There is no longer any sin. There's no sin in heaven, so there are no longer any need for the effects of sin like shame and guilt and condemnation and then the attending things like judgment or belief systems that say, I'm not good enough, I'm not acceptable, I'm not going to ever make it happen, I'm not going to do whatever. All the lies that are attached to those things. It was not necessary there, and so therefore you are free to express who you are and is free to be the expression of God. All those things have only come into our world because of sin and because we harbor sin. Not because we... I'm looking at a room full of people I don't believe intentionally harbor sin. Okay? I think it's probably just the people online that intentionally harbor sin. Don't do that? Okay, I take that back. There are family. Yes. But see, whatever it is, whoever, in other words, this is what is human nature. And that's what the Lord is wanting us to be free of. That's why he came and paid the price. So let's just set a little stage. Hebrews 10, verse 1. For the law, since it only is a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very form of things, can never by the sacrifices year by year, which they offer continually, make perfect those who draw near. I just want to make sure that I'm... Do you ever feel that you are made perfect by the sacrifices that you make? Because see, maybe we don't sacrifice like the Levitical priesthood did, but we still do our own little sacrifices trying to earn our way. But see, those things will never cleanse our heart. Otherwise, wouldn't that be ceased to be offered? Because the worshippers, having once been cleansed, would no longer have a consciousness of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sin year by year. They offered every year, they had a ceremony of atonement. They also did offerings during the year for the specific sins that they did. But the atonement was actually for what was going to happen in the next coming year. That was something that I didn't realize at first when I first started learning about atonement. But atonement was given before you ever sinned. Glory to God. For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. So first point here is that Jesus was uniquely qualified to take away sin because he was both made in the image of the offender and the offended. Being God and man, he was made in the image of God. He was made in the image of man. And so therefore, he was the only person, the only being that has ever existed who could actually fulfill the mission. Because he was God and man. He was both the offender and the offended. And so when he made his sacrifice, he also was able to do something that a bull or a goat couldn't do, which was he volunteered for this because he loved you. So that makes him unique. And so when he began to do this, it says, sacrifices and offering thou hast not desired, but a body thou hast prepared for me. That's he's quoting from David, because David was speaking of the ending of the Levitical priesthood, which is now. couple of weeks ago, I spoke about being on God's frequency. And when we break agreement with this lie that I'm still a sinner, we're getting on God's frequency. Because it was never His heart. It was never His heart for you to believe that. Religion has told us that, but it was never God's heart. He came to set the captives free. Amen? Okay. And so he comes and he says, I'm going to come and do thy will, O God, in verse 7. And then it says, verse 9, and become, I have come to do thy will. He takes away the first in order to establish the second. Now we're taking and acknowledging the shift of covenant. And by this will we've been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. His will sinners in the covenant of grace. His will is centered in the covenant of grace. His will is, grace is the evidence of what His will was and is. It was always His will for you to have access. It was always His will for you to step in to this place of relationship and fullness in Him. A harmony with the Godhead that worked to bring out the best in you. It was always His will for you to be an expression and an extension of who He is. It was His will to have family. See, that's why we come and we gather together, because it's a celebration of family. It's a celebration. Over the Thanksgiving holidays, there's a lot of times that, you know, people gather together, and we got to gather together and we had a celebration of family. And there were some others who were with us. But see, the thing is, in those celebrations, in those comings together, there is a thing that causes you to be increased. Hallelujah. Let me just say this. When I've seen, and I'm not here, but I know a lady that was a wonderful, wonderful human being. Sin was not on her mind. Jesus was on her mind. And she walked with the Lord all the time. However, this thought process, because she had a Jewish heritage, got locked into her thinking, and every time there was an altar call, she would be one of the first ones to the altar. That's not God's intention. It's never His thought or idea. The continually coming to the altar came out of a belief system that she still wasn't good enough. But that was still a product of something other than the will of God. When we do that, or another way that we do that, is a couple of weeks ago, Pastor was talking about putting on the armor of God during the prayer. And I realized as I went to put on the armor of God, I already had old armor on. I can't put new armor over my old armor. And my old armor was all full of holes and rusted and beat up. But I was still protecting the old armor. See, the old armor represented all my ways that I would do in my old nature to protect myself. It was my old defense systems, the old things that I would do, the ways that I would express myself, the ways that I would use anger just to keep people back. If I needed you back, I can get you back. Those things that were my invention, basically they were just now just a new prison. We have to let go of the old armor. But if I choose not to let go of the old armor, or I choose to continually believe that I'm still a sinner, those both are rejection of what God did for me. The rejection of the power of the blood. The rejection of the power of the cross. That's what Hebrews is explaining to us. We have one option. I need some volunteers, Pastor. I need some volunteers. I need about six guys up here. Okay. Jim, Josh. All right, there we go. Paul, come, Glenn. Okay. Now I need you. Okay, Pastor here, and then turn to face me.
I'm the good guy.
You're the good guy. You get to be Jesus today. Oh, all right, Tim.
Awesome.
No, he's the good guy.
Okay, now everybody else line up behind these two. Come on. All right, give him a little space. Give him a little space. A little more space. All right. Okay, that's good. All right. So, my last prop didn't work so well, though, so I got one that's simpler. My last prop didn't. But see, on Thanksgiving weekend, you celebrate football, right? Are we supposed to? I'll leave that alone. I need one more volunteer. So over here we have Team Jesus. We have Team Jesus. Over here we have a lost little sheep. Who's holding on to her sin. But I need you to hold on to your sin like you would a football. Okay, now protect it. All right. So see, she's holding on to her sin. All right. So when she meets Team Jesus, is there any doubt about what's going to happen to that ball? So now she gets convicted and she comes over here and she gets to meet Team Jesus. And she gives the ball. She gives her sin away. She gives her sin away. But she continues to hold it as if it was still there. Now, hang on a second. Yeah. Now, if she somehow gets past the front line of defense, if she somehow gets through there, or if she gets to the next level and now she's already picked up another sin. Where'd our sin?
I had lost.
You lost it? my demonstration. So if she picks up another sin, what's going to happen to it? It gets broken off. And it gets separated from her as far as the east is from the west. Here's the secret is that no matter how far she keeps going back because of the power of an endless life, The sinner needs to know when to stay put. Wrong seat. I'm gonna need her for an intercession. But no matter how far, that's really good. No matter how far she goes back, she's continually intercepted by Team Jesus. Because of the power of an endless life means Jesus continues to live on and on. And because he lives on, he's continually making intercession for each and every one of us. Because he continues to be the priest, he's making intercession over each and every one of us. And no matter how many levels we go back, no matter how many new offenses we pick up, they get stripped away at the next intersection. Okay, we're not done yet. Come on, little sheepy. Little sheepy. Okay, so now she's still holding her offense. All right. Now Team Jesus has come and surround her. Now Team Jesus draw near. Now still she's still holding on to her offense. But what do you see? You see Team Jesus. You see Team Jesus. See, that's how he intends for it to be. That's how he intends for it to be. Team Jesus is always there covering, protecting, keeping you safe, even when you're still holding on to your offense, even when you're still holding on to your hurt, even when you're still holding on to your sin. He's still there and surrounding. Now, if Team Jesus will back up for just a moment, and if Jesus will take and sit here, and our little lamb will sit here, that's a great picture. Now, now that you're seated next to the Lamb of God in the holy place, how silly is it to hold on to that hurt? We let Jesus keep it. Amen? 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 It's been a day or two since you played, huh? So when you're seated in the holy place, when you're seated at the right hand, do we need anything? Do we need that offense anymore? Do we need that hurt anymore? Do we need that sin anymore? Amen. Amen. You feel clean now? You feel delivered? Set free? Glory to God. Seated in the highest. Seated with Christ in the highest place. Yes, she feel happy. I wanted to make it graphic and simple. Okay? Some people talk about perambulate. I want to make it simple. Because if I don't get this part, I can't have that part. I can't perambulate with God if I don't think I belong there. If I don't think that I'm qualified. If I don't think I'm good enough. If I don't think I'm worthy. I can't walk with God. Not because he's withholding it, but because I withheld it. And that is the whole value of what I'm trying to show you, is that it's not even up to us. Once we accept Christ, it's no longer up to us. Once we choose to believe, once we choose to have faith, it's no longer up to us, because it's all about what he did. what he accomplished on the cross, how he purified and cleansed us. When it says in verse 14 that we were forever perfected, that doesn't mean that you'll never have another sin. That means that he's already seeing you and viewing you as if you were perfect. Even when you show evidence of otherwise. How many of us have shown evidence? No, don't answer that. We've all shown evidence of otherwise. See, and sometimes we think that disqualifies me. No, that's the reason he came. That's the very purpose for he came for. If everybody was sanctified, he never needed to make that sacrifice. He made the sacrifice because we weren't yet quite there. At the same time, he gave us the tool to be there. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 says that he who knew no sin became sin. Okay? So that we could become the righteousness of God. He didn't say he sinned so we could sort of be righteous. He became sin. He consumed it. Sin can only be in one place. When he consumes it, when he takes it from you, then there's no more sin.
All gone.
When he takes it from you, it's all gone. That's what we teach our grandkids. All gone. There's no more sin. In other words, because it can only be in one place. So when it's on him, it's no longer on me. Amen. Or maybe I should do that this way. When it's on him, it's no longer on me. You always make the pastor the good guy, okay? Glory to God. Christmas is coming. What am I supposed to read into that? See, when we begin to view it like this, sin can no longer define who we are. And if sin no longer defines who we are, then we don't have to have the evidences of sin, which are shame, condemnation, guilt, and all the rest of that mess. Because all those things are just related to sin. When I don't have awareness of when those things are gone, when my awareness becomes of the salvation that I have, of the perfection that I have, of what he's done for me, when those things become what I'm looking at, I no longer need to focus on those other things. I no longer need the defense mechanisms. I can tell you when that freedom came, it was amazing, because when I got back to this side of that encounter, I went to a whole lot of people and told them and asked forgiveness because of the things that I had done and said. Why? Because I can now recognize my part in things. Because I could see my part, and I had to go make it right. I had to let them know that, hey, I did this and that out of a spirit of competition or a spirit of jealousy or a spirit of strife or whatever. And some of those things, actually, you would have probably patted me on the back for, because they were good things. But they came out of the wrong heart, the wrong intention. God's more concerned with the intention of my heart than what my action looks like. See, on this earth, all we care about is what it looks like. But God has a whole nother motivation. Forever perfected, perfectly free of sin. It's on him and cannot be in two places at the same time. And because of the power of the endless life, he's continually making intercession for us. So, 1 John 1:7 says that when we walk in the light as he walks in the light, we have fellowship with him. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Because I'm walking in his light, now I'm I am able to see what is in my heart. And as soon as I see it, the blood of Jesus cleanses it. The blood of Jesus does an end run with my sin and takes it away. The blood of Jesus is there continually because it's the power of an endless life. If you want to know more about the power of an endless life, look in Hebrews 7, the last half of the chapter is all about the power of an endless life. Hebrews 10 is simply the summation of everything that the book of Hebrews has been leading us to. But it's right here is summed in, you have relationship with God. You're destined for relationship. You're destined to be in His bosom. You're destined to be the beauty of His eye. It's His heart. Verse 16 says that, after those days I'll put my laws in their heart or upon their heart. That signifies the inner transformation that comes as we allow. Pastor Lewis said something to this effect the other day, is that you don't have to go digging to perfect yourself. Just continually expose yourself to the Word. And as you, I like that, as you expose yourself to the Word, it will expose what needs to be exposed. It will show you what needs to be shown. That's where the light comes from. In His light, we see light. Psalm 36:9. When in His light, we see light. And when that light comes now, we're not only brought into the acknowledgement of what happened, but we're also brought into the understanding of His freedom for us. When we go digging around in our and we're trying to do it just in our own strength, what do you normally feel? You feel condemnation, guilt, and shame. But when the light of Christ comes on it, it comes with the peace. It comes with the authority to move that thing out. Amen? Amen. Sha-da-da-da-da. All right. So now let's jump down to... One final point up there is that... the sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more. We may still be trying to harbor this thing. We may still be trying to keep it. But guess what? You're not on probation. You're not on parole. You're just never were under conviction. It's just he's removed all those things. And so we come to a new and living way, verse 20, which He inaugurated through His flesh. A new and living way, it's no longer by works. It's a new covenant, and it's a living covenant, meaning that it's ongoing. And as it's ongoing, it will never be replaced. See, animal sacrifices which were given would always fall short. Because why? Because the life that is in the blood ceases to be in the blood once it's separated from the animal. So the sanctifying work of that was very temporary. But the life in His blood never dies. It's an unending life. So His blood continues to do its work day after day after day after day, moment after moment. Incident after incident. And so when we live in the freedom of that, when we live in the understanding of that, now I have a reason to hold up my head. I have a reason to express the goodness of God. I have a reason to celebrate who He is. Because why? Because my freedom is emanating from that blood. Everything about me can now emanate the relationship of Christ. If you fall into a sin, simply repent. Yeah, Christine, please edit that, Cody. his life. Repent. To change your way. And this simply means to turn about. To turn about. So repent and then engage your faith. The whole purpose, we've talked about faith a lot, but the whole purpose of all this, the new and living way, is the way of faith. It has to be done by faith, and there is no other way. There is no replacement. There is no other thing that's ever going to do, it's ever going to satisfy. It has to be done by faith. Because when we stand in faith with Him, now we're standing in an agreement, and that brings us into alignment. It brings us into that God frequency. And as we're into that God frequency, there's a newness that can happen because life is now happening out of His nature instead of ours, out of His will instead of ours. No other option or way will be needed or accepted. So by default, this becomes the last way. There was a first way, but this one also becomes the last way. And because it's a new and living way, it takes something that's living to impart life. The law was never living. It was just and good, is what it calls it in Romans. It had its place, but it never could impart life. It can only render judgment. But we're looking for judgment free. I like that slogan at Planet Fitness. It's judgment free zone. Judgment-free zone. But if you actually step into a judgment-free zone like I did in that encounter, you're going to like it too. Because that judgment-free zone, there's such a freedom from all the things that we would normally carry. But that judgment-free zone, He created for us. I believe it's possible. If I'm no longer concerned about what someone else is doing, maybe I should do it this way. If I'm no longer concerned what someone else is doing and I'm only looking at what Jesus is doing, what the Father is doing, there's no judgment. Amen? Amen. So therefore, we, brethren, we have confidence, verse 19, to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, a new and living way which He inaugurated through us through the veil that is His flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, we talked about that he's a priest that never dies, never passes endless life. Let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us draw near with a sincere heart. In other words, as we draw near, as we're drawing near, there's something that happens here. Number one, He's cleansing the whole man. Sometimes we think that He's only cleansing the inner man, but His intention is to cleanse, as given by this verse, the inner and the outer. Because He's sprinkling the heart. But He's voicing the body. So He's doing a total makeover. He's touching every part of us. When He sanctifies, guess what? When I believe in that sanctification, there's a healing process that happens too. There's a healing process that happens for whatever's ailing us. There's a sanctification process that happens for whatever's ailing us. There's a deliverance process that happens for whatever's ailing us. Sprinkle clean from an evil conscience. The agreement for freedom has to come from inside you. Redemption, wholeness, was purchased. It was purchased on the cross. It was purchased by that sacrifice. It was purchased by that blood that never will never fail and will never die. But the agreement, which is basically the faith, has to come from inside of us. When faith rises up within us and says, I will take that, it's done. It's done. Because He created it for you, but He won't force you to take it. It's up to us to receive it. And if we falter for a moment and think, well, you know, and have a doubt, you know, don't, the end of the world doesn't come just because you had a doubt. Just reassure yourself in faith. Say it in faith. Hey, I am the righteousness of Christ. I am the holiness of God. I walk in His righteousness. I walk in His holiness. His glory is upon me. And as I step out, that glory touches those around me. You can begin to say it in faith because it's what His heart and desire was for you in the first place. He's been intending to give it to you. It's just simply up to us to receive. Hallelujah. Let me just say, verse 24, consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not for us forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more, as you see the day draw near. In other words, when we are holding fast to the Word of God, we're imitating the very one that we follow. The whole purpose of gathering together, yes, is coming together as family, but also realize that as we come together as family, that there's opportunities as we come together as family to be encouraged and uplifted and sometimes corrected, but it's always going to be being brought into a place of encouraged. A lot of times people will get discouraged and they'll get discouraged. They're getting discouraged with something that's not God. They get discouraged with the functions of a religion, maybe. They get discouraged with the failings of an individual, but they're not getting discouraged with God. What we're here to do is to help them to see what is really important and draw them back into and draw them next to and in alignment with what God is doing. And as we do so, we go outside. In other words, each and every one of us has a responsibility to go outside of ourselves and help someone else. We shouldn't be just coming to church just to sit here and get blessed. We can come to church to be a bless, to release a bless, to release something with somebody else. Sometimes that might be a word. Sometimes that might just be as simple as a smile. It might be just simply engaging who they are and letting them know that they matter because they showed up. Amen? Amen. Sha-da-da-da-da. Sha-da-da. So the redemption was purchased. The value is up to you. I'm going to encourage you, live in the consciousness of the freedom that you've been given. If you're living in the consciousness of the freedom that you've given, that's the first step to walking with Him. If I'm conscious of what God has done in my heart, it's no longer possible for the enemy to drag me off. If I stay right there, if I stay focused on that, now I'm in a place where I can be drawn into Him. I'm a place where I know I have the authority to walk with Him. Be conscious of that. Be conscious also of this. Because of what has been done, any encounter or experience that you have seen or heard that another man has had with God, you can have. Because he's not a respecter of persons. He's willing to do it for you if you did it for John. He's willing to do it for you if you did it for Paul. He's willing to do it for you if you did it for LaRue. Okay? Hey, that was a nice company to put you in, right? My point is, if he does it for anybody, if you thought like, something similar to what you were saying during the offering, if you thought, well, that never happens to me when I first talked about the encounter, it can. I wasn't even looking for an encounter at that moment. I was just trying to survive. Not your fault, my fault. I didn't obviously listen to the instruction well enough. Whatever it is that God has in his will, that's where we want to be reflected in our doing. It's his life. It's his heart. The freedom that we have in here. The whole book sums up in this, and it says, but we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but those who have faith to the preserving of the soul. In other words, we're not going back to the law, because there's no law to go back to. We're not going back to our works, because works didn't work in the first place. We're going to step in by faith. We're going to engage by faith. So, this week, be intentional to engage by faith. And if there's anybody who, like I have, you know, sometimes I've gone back and I've gone back to my old ways of covering myself, of protecting myself. If there's anybody who still can't believe that they're good enough, if there's anybody who believes that sin is bigger than I am, I just want you to bow your head with me. Oh, you want to say something?
I wanted, while he was sharing this, this is one of the most pivotal places you're going to find in the mountain of God, is this realm of righteousness. It has to be appropriated by faith. And if we don't do that, it's a lot of times what we do is ask forgiveness. And we don't go to the next level and get clothed. It's going to be very difficult to move into the next levels, because you're still wearing things that have to be taken off. And if you don't successfully take them off, you won't be able to move freely. It's like that third ring there. That's throne of grace, clothed in righteousness, oneness. You have to get clothed in the righteousness. That's why he says, put off the old man. See, that's an action you do. Put on the new man. That's an action you do. You can do that by seeing and saying, but it should be done every day, because every one of us have either strongholds or residual issues, traveling issues. You can get clothed and stuff. You can be very mature and just get clothed in things, because we're constantly in this world system, and it has to be reset. And if we don't reset, we end up getting compacted with old things, and they start wearing. And when they do, they'll dull your spiritual senses to where you can't move freely. But if you'll do this on a daily basis by taking off the old man, putting on the new man, you have to be armed. When you do that, you got to be armed with scripture. You got to know your position, because you're not going to feel like it. When you're getting clothed in the righteousness of God, you're not always going to feel righteous. You got to say, I am the righteousness of God. I am holy and without blame. I am holy, unblameable, unreprovable. You present me faultless. And sometimes when I'm going through that, I'll see like a white robe coming out from him, a brand new white plush robe. I want to see it, because I lock into imagery. I'll see a brand new, just like the prodigal, bringing the best robe, bringing out a white robe. I'm going to feel that. I want to see that, because I'm trying to get myself moved into a position, because if I can get positioned in this realm, I can move up into the Father a lot freer. If I don't get this realm, I can't move higher, because you get stuck. And you get stuck, you'll just back up or you won't do it. But if you get clothed, and sometime I'll even see myself stepping into a courtroom because it says, come boldly to the throne of grace. It's a courtroom, and sometime I'll see it like a white room, but I belong there. You have to know you belong there, because if you draw back and don't feel you belong there, you're not going to be able to move freer. So I want to feel like I belong. I want to be clothed in righteousness. And when I go in there, say, I'm justified freely by grace. I'm justified. I'm abundantly pardoned. You've separated my iniquities as far as the east is from the west. So after you've asked forgiveness, you got to see that separation. You want to see those iniquities being separated. You want to see a dividing of light and darkness. And then you go to the next level. And say, my sin and iniquity, you remember no more. There's no remembrance here in the heaven of iniquity. There's no remembrance of the past. And the more you do it, you'll start feeling the life. You'll start feeling the grace. You'll start feeling who you are, because not only are you agreeing, you're speaking and you're seeing and saying, and suddenly you're clothed in him. You're in oneness. He surrounded you like we did Sharon. And suddenly Christ, you're in him. And Paul says it the best in Philippians, he says, to be found in him, not having our own righteousness. You make the exchange. You make, no matter how much Paul was able to progress in God, he always made the exchange to be found in him instead of myself. And if I can make that exchange by faith, then I'm standing in him and not myself. And if I can stand in him, I get a lot more done. But I stand in myself, I'm going to be limited. And that's the key to this, is you're making the exchange. And you're going to do that by faith and understanding who you are, your position, that big exchange to be found in him, not having our own anymore. See, you move into him, and suddenly by faith, you step into a new place. The light will come, the glory will come, the grace will come. Now you're ready to walk. Now you're ready to get emboldened. Because if you can't get this level right, you're not going to get up to the Father properly. If you don't get up in the Father properly, we can't even talk about joint heirship. So we talk about perambulation, joint heirship, but you got to get these realms down, because you can't just bypass. You don't jump up and become an heir when you're wearing all this other stuff. Because the nature of an heir is you're raised in honor. You're raised up in the glory. See, he was raised in honor and glory. So are you. Heirs don't wear dishonor. They may be dishonored in the earth, but they're never dishonored in heaven. You wear honor. You wear glory. But this is the foundation stone. If we get this one right, you'll move more freely. If you don't, you'll start back and forth. And a lot of times you'll just draw back. And you'll start wearing more and more of the old. All of this has to be done by faith. It's going to take your mouth. It's going to take the eye of your heart. It's going to take action. And it's something you can do every day. And you should be doing it every day. Because if you do, you'll start moving in the kingdom more freely. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I need my lamb one more moment. Now, a while ago, she was holding her sin. But when she holds and protects the word, now her focus is on the word. Her focus is on what is going to bring truth and light. Her focus is what brings peace and joy. Her focus is now on what God has said, not what the enemy has done. Amen? Amen. Amen. Glory. So, okay, we got one more thing here. We'll still want to pray that prayer. Seems like there's something coming forth here.
I found it interesting that Pastor exhorted about busyness, because he gave me a word this morning, which is the other issue I think that we have around the holiday season, and that's a feeling of separation and being alone for some people. So I wanted to be sure to speak this out. And if this applies to you, don't sit there in your separation. If you need to reach out to us, reach out to us, because we want to help. He started by saying, I am all around you. I'm in every current of the wind. I'm in every drop of rain. I'm in every moment of the day. You are never alone. You are never unloved. You are never forgotten. When the attacks come against you, remember whose you are. You are mine. I have stamped my adoration upon you. I have given you my very DNA. I have made you my family. Any separation you feel is the work of the enemy. It's his attempt to keep you from your father, the lover of your soul. When you hear the voice telling you there is no hope because you are alone, call it the liar that it is. You have the ability to quiet that voice forever. Take your position and do not surrender it.
Amen. Hallelujah. So, now, we'll just bow our head for just a moment. So, Lord Jesus, we just open ourselves to you. We surrender ourselves to the will of the Father. And Lord, we come in this moment to acknowledge all the things that we need to acknowledge every sin, every unforgiveness, Lord, every situation. And to acknowledge, Lord, that you are willing to take it. So we make a new decision. We make a decision to release to you what belongs to you. To release this burden. To release this sin. To release this loneliness, this separation. To release whatever it is I need to release today. I present myself to you. And I receive, Lord, that perfection. I choose to begin to see myself in this perfection. I choose to receive what you purchased. That freedom. Laying aside all guilt, shame, condemnation. Laying aside all defensiveness and hurt. I rise up from there. In this moment, in this day, with a heart that's perfect towards you, and understanding that you're a God with an unending power of life. We thank you, Lord, for the work of that blood, and we receive it. Hallelujah. Amen.